Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWCN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And remember, you can always listen to our show as a podcast at EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I like listening to podcasts, especially if I got my phone and I'm going downstairs and I'm doing laundry and I'm moving and it just comes with me and the content is ever flowing. Well, today we are welcoming back Kevin Wells to our show. Kevin is a nationally and internationally renowned speaker and a former award-winning reporter with the Tampa Tribune, where he covered Major League Baseball. And he has written two best-selling books, including The Priest We Need to Save the Church. He is a prolific writer and an active evangelist who has spoken on many national Catholic stages, conferences, including the Legatus Summit, the Napa Institute, and That Man Is You. And today he's here to speak with us about his latest book, The Hermit, The Priest Who Saved a Soul, a Marriage, and a Family, which is a searing memoir about a parish priest turned hermit who God used mightily to save his marriage. You could go out to Kevin's website, kevinwells.org, for more of Kevin.
Well, he's a prolific writer. Maybe this was a book he wished he didn't have to write.
Yeah.
Because it's such pain and crisis in his life. Love of his life, his wife, Krista, and finds out she's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just overcome with the desire to drink, and whole personality has changed. He suffers many things, the kids are suffering, and how God was so merciful to them, and there's no crisis that our Lord Jesus Christ cannot overcome and can't flip. Mm-hmm. Not to deny what takes place, but the mountains do melt, you know, before mm-hmm. the Lord and his heat.
Yes.
And so he's going to share with us more in the second part of his sharing about the hermit, the priest who saved the soul, a marriage, and a family. Hopefully we'll hear more about this holy priest who became a hermit. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a hermit at the start of it. And maybe speak more about the priesthood. And this man was just such a very holy man and then winds up becoming a hermit. Mm. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. We pray that the show today would be a source of great hope to you as Kevin and Krista allow their story to be told. In all of its pain and sorrow, but yet victory in the Lord, that you might have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, his church, and holy priest. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Kevin Wells. He's the author of the book that we're talking about, The Hermit. You could go out to his website for more of Kevin Wells at kevinwells.org. Well, Kevin, for the people who didn't catch our show yesterday, give us a quick snapshot of what the book is about, and then we want to get into Father Flume and his hermit journey.
Very good. I'll make it brief because I'd like your viewers to purchase the book. I've written five books, and I think there's a few more in me. I think this will be the best book I've ever written. Mm-hmm. A dad's not supposed to have a favorite child, but writing this book was a period of mourning. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it at the time, but it was agonizing to write about things very ugly mm-hmm. that I had never really had a chance to mourn, and the process of writing was mourning.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So this book was, let's say, hard-earned. Not that I earn and deserve anything, but it was a hard book to write, and it's vulnerable, it's wide open. But just briefly, what I'll do, I'll dangle the carrot by saying this. To your viewer right now who is in the dark night where you see no ways out, there's no exit doors, there's no trap doors, there's nothing. Everything is dark. And we all have suffering. Mm-hmm. We all do. I'm going to encourage your viewer not to give up on God, because God is faithful. He tells us he's faithful. In some way, God will answer in your darkness. Mm-hmm. And this book is about continually needing to tell myself, God, you're going to come to my rescue. You're going to come to Krista's rescue. And in the dark night in the desert, it's hard to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. So I encourage your viewer to just stay in the trench. Mm. Don't leave the trench with your suffering spouse or whatever it might be, and say, you know what, God, you're going to come around. Mm. And God does.
Yeah, he always does. And his mercy is extravagant. Mm. We think his mercy is limited. You know, it's like, you can't, you shouldn't, you wouldn't. And yet he does. And for you to write this, as vulnerable as you were and beautiful Krista are in this, and putting it out there, I mean, what a catharsis. Like you said, you mourned, you know, you went through it. But it heals your own soul. And that's what God does. He writes straight on all of our crooked lines, and he makes sense out of the worst things of our lives. And that's, I mean, we just marvel at him, and we could fall in love with him again and again. It's like he never stops outdoing himself with love and mercy and grace and courage and all the virtues that he wants to pour into us to aid us and assist us. And then to say to someone else who's at home, who might have a husband or a son or a daughter, and it might not be alcohol, it might be pornography, it might be weed, it might be whatever it is, that God is going to show up in the dark night of your soul, but stay there. And I would always say to our children, even during COVID when things were crazy, stay in the walls of the church. Just stay in the wall. But Ma, stay in the walls of the church. Yeah. Because he is there, and you will get through it.
That was a big part of the book. Because you're saying during COVID, you said stay in the walls of the church. Now, it could be a double meaning of the walls, right? You mean the boundaries, the truth, the doctrines, the morals, stay within the walls of the church. But it also became the literal walls of the church, and that we really were not being allowed to be within the real walls of the church where the Lord's presence is in the tabernacle, Eucharistic adoration, the sacraments of the church. That's a part of your book too, especially, you know, your wife was struggling with alcohol for numerous years, many years, and then it kind of came to a climax during COVID of all times. It seemed like that's the worst time to have it happen. But yet in some strange way, God flipped it, especially with this godly priest and other priests you mentioned that were great. So why don't you speak to us about that, when this is really hitting its height of what's going on, maybe some piercing coming through, relapses that take place. What was happening during COVID that was so isolating and negative, but somehow, you know, in the Lord, it got flipped.
Yeah, well, what I'd like to say to that, Jim, is firstly, I'm on my little microscopic soapbox here today on the couch. I think 100 years from now, if church historians are honest and look back at how COVID-19 was handled in the year 2020, they'll say it was one of the worst displays in the history of the Catholic Church. I believe that. Mm-hmm. So why do I say that? I mean, how arrogant of me to say that? Well, Krista was finally coming out of the tomb of her addiction in 2018-19, finally. She would still get snapped back in every now and then, but she was more bright-eyed. And so why? Because this Father Flume that you mentioned said, Krista, here's where you're going to heal. You're going to heal by going to Mass every day of your life, no days off. You're going to heal by making at least 1 hour of adoration mm-hmm. every day. You're going to heal with weekly confessions because you're in the state of mortal sin. And you're going to heal with intensive spiritual direction. So are you going to buy in? Yeah, yes, Father, I am. And Krista bought in. So in early March of 2020, when Krista was coming out of that tomb, I still remember driving home about 10 at night on the radio, hearing a press release from Cardinal Gregory being read by the radio announcer, saying that this upcoming Sunday's masses were going to be canceled because his line was something, and I think I'm getting this pretty precise, as a shepherd of the diocese, it's my duty to make sure that the health of my parishioners comes first. And right away, I'll speak with candor now, dead wrong. Mm-hmm. No, the soul of those in D.C. is your priority, not the body. Mm-hmm. So, but my thought was right away on that car ride home, my God, Krista. Mm-hmm. Churches are shut, masses mm-hmm. are gone. Mm-hmm. She can't get in for adoration. She can't get in for confession, my God. And that's why, again, mm-hmm. that's why my Krista, God bless her, said, Kevin, when she, after the recovery, said, I want to expose mm-hmm. the darkness of me, my life, our marriage. That's the old skin. I don't care anymore because mm-hmm. I want to show what Father Flume did with muscularity mm-hmm. during COVID 2020, who from day one, moment one of the lockdowns worldwide. Mm-hmm. And remember, I'll say it, Rome was the first place for them to shut down. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people remember that. That was the first time masses were canceled, the first place. Father Flume said, no, not on my watch, no. Because he knew what I knew, mm-hmm. that people like Krista, if they were no longer healing medicinally through the sacraments, mm-hmm. then Satan was going to bring them back in and things were going to go run amok.
Right. Yeah.
So he stuck his nose into it right away.
Mm-hmm. How did he adapt in the midst of, you know, I guess people trying to do the best as they understood it and may not have been the best, this isolation call. How did he adapt, or did he adapt, or was it just full-blown like nothing has ever happened, or how did he moderate opportunities for adoration or people coming to the Mass? Like, what was he doing? What was his example? Practically, what was he doing during that time?
So day one, opened the door for adoration. He wanted to do 24/7 adoration, and his little office staff said, no, Father, you don't understand. Nobody wants to leave their houses. This mm-hmm. is early on. Mm-hmm. They're going to die of this thing called coronavirus. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, but that's why I'm opening the doors mm-hmm. so they could have protection around. So right away, adoration whenever you wanted it. And he was a brilliant man, very studied, very learned, knew the church doctors, knew the encyclicals, mm-hmm. knew a very learned man. So when he read the mandate that came down through the diocese, he saw loopholes. Mm-hmm. So one of them was, a priest celebrates Mass every day of their life. Off day doesn't matter. And Father Flume did that. So he began to celebrate his private Mass during COVID at a certain time of the day. And the back door happened to be unlocked. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to go in very early in the morning around dawn mm-hmm. to pray in front of and all of a sudden, eavesdrop in on a Mass. Well, people mm-hmm. began to, the secret broke out. Mm-hmm. But he was doing this not because he's a maverick or John Wayne on horseback out in the range. He was doing this for souls.
Right.
He did not care right. about protocol. He did mm-hmm. not care about the body. He didn't mm-hmm. care about a sickness. Mm-hmm. He cared about souls. So right. he kept on it and right. And creatively found ways not only to help Krista, but mm-hmm. others like Krista.
Because people were going to die, spiritually die. And people did spiritually die. I mean, for us, even our priest had confessions on the porch. Yeah. He was like, come out, I'll be on the porch. Meet me on the porch. And we went to the porch. EWTN exploded during COVID because people couldn't go to church. And so EWTN became the church because Mass was celebrated every day here live at EWTN. You know, so it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, right? And but people spiritually were going to die because of that isolation. And they couldn't get Jesus.
Yeah, well, time like that could certainly come upon us again. Have we learned anything? Is there some way to adjust, right? Because it's not just that and it's over. It's like, what's coming next and how do we deal with that? What have we learned? What can we moderate? You know, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the church has learned, although not many in the hierarchy have admitted, I think deep down they know that they failed during that time. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think they all know, their conscience says we failed. Because they bought into nameless medical panels, mm-hmm. Anthony Fauci, mm-hmm. politicians. They know that Walmart was open, Planned Parenthood clinics were open, abortion clinics were open. They knew liquor stores were open.
Right.
So the essential thing.
The casinos were open.
All of it.
All of the devil's tools.
Yeah, it was like flashing lights right. for the voyeurs, mm-hmm. the addicts, mm-hmm. the drunks, mm-hmm. like, hey, we're open, mm-hmm. but hey, can I get the Eucharist? No, mm-hmm. lock, double lock. You can't mm-hmm. get in there. So looking back, but I don't want to go yeah. revisit mm-hmm. the past. Yes, yeah, so the answer is, yeah, I think they have learned. I imagine they'll be more creative. They'll be more imaginative in ways to still present the sacraments and masses to folks if, mm-hmm. if it does
Praise
come up.
Praise the Lord. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, you have an incredible, I mean, it's obviously your faith. You have a sincere faith. It was tested all the way through in this time with your precious wife and COVID and so on. So we always go deeper. But you have a fascination and a love, you know, for the church and for priests. So speak to us more about the importance of the priesthood, your love for the priesthood, you know, mixture within the priesthood. You had an uncle. There's an uncle who served and lost his life.
And your brother's a priest, right?
And your brother's mm-hmm. a priest, yes. Mm-hmm. So speak to us what the priesthood means to the church, to you, how we should see the priesthood. And again, tie Father Plum into this, because you really extol Christ in him, how he did things, all that he knew, but also his own kind of, you go through a lot of his masculinity. He sounds like he was a really strong guy, did chin-ups, and why is that important? You know, like, speak to us about the priesthood.
Why is that important?
Yeah.
Because when you fight the devil, you got to be in shape. And that's no metaphorical line there. That's a real line. Mm-hmm. So why do I write about the priesthood? Why do I love priests? I grew up in the shadow of a giant, my uncle, Monsignor Thomas Wells. He was murdered in his rectory in the year 2000. 29 years, he was known as one of the greatest priests, really, in the history of the Archdiocese of Washington, for too many reasons to name. And if you went to D.C. and brought up my uncle's name, people would know him. But as it pertains to Father Flum, this is what I would encourage to any priest who might be watching right now. And really, this goes for the common priest, too, mm-hmm. or common priests, right? That unless there's a cost, unless you're willing to step into something, unless you're willing to embrace withering attacks. Mm-hmm. As Father Flum saw in Krista, my wife, he saw the piecemeal destruction of a soul. So he said, okay, well, that's good because it's game on. So he began to take like a spiral staircase down into Krista's soul mm-hmm. where he knew the wounds abided and lived and were anchored in. And one by one, these little lions and tigers and mm-hmm. monsters, he began to sort of scalpel them out. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy work. It's hard work because there's rebellion, there's bad days Krista comes in with, and a little public service announcement that I want to also make for clergy. Number one, there's got to be a cost to your priesthood. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. If it's not mm-hmm. a cost, then look yeah. at Jesus Christ on the cross. Mm-hmm. Is it a cost there? Mm-hmm. Number two, Father Flum was unafraid to say indelicate things to Krista. So when Krista would have another fall, when she got drunk the night before and she'd come back in, God bless her for coming in, and Father mm-hmm. Flum appreciated, but there came a time where Father Flum would say things like this: hey, Krista, we need to stop spiritual direction. Well, Father Flum, why? Well, because you're more drawn, you're more in love with a demon inside you yeah. than anything I can do now. Yeah. So I think it's time to part ways. And oh, but no, Father, you can't do this. No, Krista, I'm trying to keep you from the road to hell that you're on. Mm-hmm. Very calm, Father Flum. Yeah. Brilliant man.
Yeah.
Very calm. And so it's time for you to go. Mm-hmm. So Krista would go and drive home in yeah. tears, like her son just got mm-hmm. shot in war. Mm-hmm. And then, praise God,
yeah.
Father Flum would say, all right, Krista, yeah. I'm sorry. Are you ready to go again? Mm-hmm. So a priest today in this culture, if he does not say and do indelicate things in this yeah. unmoored, morally unmoored society, mm-hmm. then again, you're not tethered yeah. to the cross. Yeah. We've got to step into things.
We're going to take a break at this point, hold you over for the final segment. The name of the book, The Hermit, The Priest Who Saved the Soul, The Marriage, A Family, EWTNRC.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Wrapping up our conversation with Kevin Wells, the hermit, the priest who saved the soul of marriage and a family. And so, you know, when I first look at the title, I'm thinking that he's a hermit throughout this whole story, which he's not. He's a local parish priest dedicated to the Lord, the way of Christ. So he's a hermit now. So what's that all about? And in one sense, I'm thinking, hate to lose a local priest like that. You know what I mean? Like, we need them. So just tell us about him, what he's doing now, and what does that mean for us?
Yeah, he's Saint Anthony of the Desert. I mean, he's a second century hermit, not in the way that a hermit might see him on a podcast somewhere. He's you'll never see him again on this side. In 2021, the summer of 2021, he broke the terrible news to everyone. He's mm-hmm. like, God is calling me to offer the rest of my life in mortifications and penances and prayer. And why? Well, I don't want to crawl into his head right now on this show, but I think I know why. But he's offered his life as a holocaust. He wants mm-hmm. to die to himself for Jim, you and Joy, mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. He wants to give himself up like a hermit does mm-hmm. to take on Satan, to take on the war out in the world. He wants the demons to come to him. Mm-hmm. And he set himself right from the very earliest days of seminary. No meats, no drinking, no silliness. You mentioned earlier, he works out. All hermits are attacked by Satan if you're a hermit worth your mm-hmm. salt. So he's trying to take on the supernaturality of what's going on in our world, mm-hmm. bring them to his little cell. So where he lives now, he lives in the middle of a forest on a grounds of a cloistered convent where he prays for the world. His home is like the size of your childhood bedroom. It's a cell where the monstrance is, and he takes on stiff self-denials, mortifications the way John Vianney liked mortifications. I mean, intense mortifications. And why? Because he is now living for God alone. Mm-hmm. So the air he breathes is sanctified by prayer. Everything, he lives in sort of this incubator of, God, you get all of me. So that's what he's doing now. He is one of the few consecrated hermits in this dimension mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, thank you so much for the gift of this book, and thank Krista on our behalf. Again, The Hermit, the Priest Who Saved a Soul, a Marriage and a Family, Ignatius Press. Get it at ewtnrc.com. I just come away with that word from St. Paul. I've been crucified with Christ. That was true for this priest. I think it's true for Kevin and for Krista, and that's where we're all going. Whether it's a priesthood or we're married, we're single, what's the final deal? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Jesus Christ is living within me. In the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me and who rose again. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.